Okay, Cody, this is one of those things that keeps sneaking into every episode like it pays rent. We say it and move on, and then 5 minutes later, I'm like, wait, that was the whole engine, wasn't it?
Yeah, and every time we do that, it's a little rude to the concept. Loss function sounds abstract, but it's basically the model's scoreboard. If you don't have a score for how wrong the model was, training is just vibes with expensive math.
That's such an exploring next sentence. But yes, okay, scoreboard is already better than the way people sometimes say it, which makes it sound like a spooky optimization talisman.
Right, and the annoying part is that it's not spooky at all. You give the model a prediction, compare it to the correct answer, and the loss function spits out one number for how badly it missed. Lower is better. That's the whole social contract.
Mm-hmm.
Think of it like a golfer and the hole. The ball is somewhere off target, and the distance to the hole is the thing you care about minimizing. The golfer keeps adjusting the swing based on that missed distance. Training a model is the same shape, just with calculus and a lot less grass.
I like that because it makes the loss feel visible. It's not the answer itself, it's the gap between the answer and where you landed. And if the gap is what you're measuring, then at least you know which direction to improve.
Exactly. And that's why the first prerequisite here matters. We did a whole episode on neural networks, episode 633. But just to keep us all on the same page, a neural network is a stack of little numeric transformations with weights inside it that turn inputs into outputs. The loss function is what...
Right, and we did the gradient descent episode 2, episode 677. Quick gloss, gradient descent is the method that uses the loss to decide how to nudge those weights downhill toward a smaller score.
Yeah, and one more prerequisite because it's load-bearing here. We also did conditional probability, episode 671. In plain English, that's just the probability of something given some other thing. A lot of classification losses are really trying to make the model assign high probability to the right class, not just blurt out a label.
Okay, so in our little scoreboard picture, the model makes a guess, the loss says how embarrassing that guess was, and then the training loop uses that embarrassment to tweak the knobs. That is very rude, but also very effective.
It's a little rude on purpose. The math doesn't care about the model's feelings. It cares about a number that can be optimized. And once you have that number, backpropagation can figure out which internal weights contributed to the miss.
Hold on, because that's the point where people start nodding like they know what you mean and then immediately don't. Backpropagation means what in human words?
It means the model runs forward to make a prediction. Then the loss gets computed at the end, and then the system works backward to ask which parameter pushed the answer the wrong way. It's not magic blame. It's just calculating how sensitive the loss is to each weight, then nudging each weight in the direction that should reduce the loss next time.
Mm-hmm. So the loss is the thing you're trying to shrink, and gradient descent is the method for shrinking it.
The gradient is basically the slope information. It tells you which way...
That's cleaner than the way people sometimes talk about it, which makes it sound like the model is being spiritually corrected. It's just being pushed around by slope information.
Yeah, and the reason loss matters so much is that without it, the model has no feedback signal. You can't improve what you don't measure. The model might be producing output, but it has no built-in sense of whether that output is close to the target unless you define one.
So the loss function is not the goal itself. It's the measuring stick for the goal.
Exactly. And that distinction matters because people mix up loss and accuracy all the time. Accuracy is the human-friendly summary at the end. Loss is the thing the training loop actually minimizes. Those can move together, but they're not the same measurement.
Right, right.
A model can get low loss and still not be perfect in the way a person hopes. Or it can improve loss in a way that doesn't help the real workflow much. That's why loss is necessary, but not sufficient. It's the training signal, not the final meaning of life.
That line is very you, and I hate that it's correct. But okay, let's make it concrete. If I'm doing classification, like choosing between categories, what loss am I usually looking at?
Cross-entropy loss is the big one there. In plain language, it penalizes the model when it puts low probability on the correct class. If the right answer is cat, and the model acts like cat is unlikely, the loss goes up. If it assigns cat a high probability, the loss goes down.
So that's where conditional probability sneaks back in. You're not just saying the word cat, You're saying how confident.
Yeah, and that confidence matters. If the model is wrong but barely confident, the penalty is different than if it's wildly confident and wrong. That's one reason cross-entropy is useful. It cares about the shape of the probability distribution, not just the final label.
And for regression, when you're predicting a number, you usually hear mean squared error, right?
Yeah, mean squared error, or MSE, means you square the difference between prediction and target, then average those squared differences. Squaring punishes bigger misses more heavily, which is great when large errors are especially bad.
Okay, that's a nice example of loss design actually changing behavior. If you care more about giant misses than tiny ones, you pick a loss that leans into that.
Exactly. And there are plenty of other losses because different tasks have different failure modes. The point isn't that one loss is holy. The point is that the loss encodes what kind of mistake you're trying to avoid.
I mean, that's the product angle too. You're deciding what counts as a bad day for the model. That is not a neutral decision.
No, it's not. It's a pretty loaded decision, actually. If you pick the wrong loss, the model gets good at the wrong thing. That's the quiet failure mode people miss because the training curve looks beautiful.
Wait, so the loss curve can look amazing and still be lying to you?
Yep, and that's where training loss versus validation loss becomes the real story. Training loss is measured on the data the model is learning from. Validation loss is measured on held out data the model didn't train on. If training loss keeps dropping, but validation loss stops improving or starts getting worse, the model is probably overfitting.
Overfitting meaning it's memorized.
Exactly. It got very good at the examples it already saw, but not necessarily at new ones. So the validation loss is the sanity check. It's the part that tells you whether the scoreboard is tracking real improvement or just increasingly clever memorization.
That's the part that always feels a little like the model is cheating in a way that still technically counts.
That's basically training. The model is always trying to exploit the exact scoring rule you gave it, which is why loss design is so important. If the scoring rule is misaligned, the model can become a champion at the wrong game.
Okay, now I want the mechanism in slow motion. We start with a prediction, then compute loss, then backpropagation figures out which weights mattered, then gradient descent updates them. Is that the loop?
Yep. Prediction, loss, backward pass, update, repeat. And that repeat happens thousands or millions of times. The whole training process is basically a long sequence of tiny corrections guided by the loss.
Mm-hmm.
And because the loss is a single number, it gives the system something simple to optimize, even if the model itself is huge and complicated. That simplicity is the trick. The inside of the model can be messy. The objective needs to be legible.
Let me put that a better way. The model can be a giant pile of internal machinery, but the loss gives it one clean instruction. Do less of the thing that made you wrong last time.
Yeah, that's good. And the reason it works mathematically is that the loss is differentiable in a lot of cases, meaning you can take derivatives of it. Derivatives tell you how the loss changes when you wiggle a parameter a tiny bit. That's what makes the update direction computable.
So the model is not guessing randomly how to improve. It's using slope information.
Right, and this is one of those places where the name makes it sound more mysterious than it is. A loss function is just a formula for penalty. You can make it simple or fancy, but it's still a formula that turns miss distance into a number.
And because it's a formula, you can choose the shape of the punishment. That's where all the trade-offs hide.
Exactly. Some losses punish large errors brutally. Some are gentler on outliers. Some are better when mistakes of one kind matter more than another. There isn't a universal best one. There's only a best one for the job you actually care about. Yeah, that's it. Everything else is just which math you use to score the miss and how carefully you choose what counts as a miss in the first place.
We really did spend this whole episode arguing with a number. That feels extremely on brand for us.